Hello and welcome to the Basketball Show. This is your co-host, Nathan Jolly, in a packed studio on a beautiful autumn's day. Oh, no, sorry, not autumn's day. Of course, summer, autumn, winter, spring.
Where are we, Nathan? Come on, let's get to
it. We're in Studio Mornington and we're having a huge basketball show again. We do have our co-host, Darren Marnie Walsh. You've been on the injury list the last couple of weeks, but welcome back to the rotation.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it? Mitch, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes. Well, it is a packed studio, as we said, so there's not a lot of microphones free, but we do have a very full show. We've got a lot of NBL, obviously the NBA, lots of records been going on, and of course WNBA. And we'll actually get to talk to some of the Siebel guys as to what's going on in the Siebel program around the nation, but also locally.
Absolutely, and it's been a big week with all things winning. Golden State Warriors getting that 73 win mark, which is significant in our industry, and I think just in professional sports, full stop. I think
in basketball, it's a huge.
Yeah, there's a benchmark there. And you're right, we're going to be talking all things Siebel. Big round for the Blues this weekend, taking on the Geelongs.
Heritage round?
Absolutely, the Heritage round. Recognising all the former Blues alumni and with some retro uniforms. So get down to the House of Blues tomorrow night. It's going to be two really cracking games against the Geelong Supercats, who are the powerhouse program in the Siebel. But we are going to introduce our guests. And starting off with the regulars, we have Dane. Can we go with Captain America?
Have we
got a nickname yet?
No, there's been no established nickname yet.
Dame Spatella, welcome.
Thank you. That works.
And of course, we have Ish Swish Hollis, who, how are you, sir? You've come in and you're looking good.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, doing real good. So
he's got the Yagasi sort of going on, the headband. And
I like it. Yeah,
it's fitting in.
Yeah, no, you're dressed for Mornington.
Yes,
See you down at Main Street. Just some beautiful little coffee shops. And of course, we have last week we introduced Kayla Standish to our listeners. We had the phone interview, but in studio this week. Good job, Kayla. Welcome to the Basketball Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And how have your weeks been? What's your headline? We normally kick off the show, don't we, Darren, with the headline of the week.
Well, so you've just thrown them all under the bus and they've all been panicking on their phones.
How you been?
Well, I guess this week's been, I don't know, pretty busy, I guess, with basketball. Both NBA games watching, obviously us preparing for the weekend. Got some pretty sad news yesterday from the Townsville Crocs that they will no longer be in the NBL this season. Pretty sad about that. So that's sort of been my week. Nothing too exciting, just trying to stay busy.
Are we allowed to talk about your connection to the Townsville Crocs?
Yeah. My partner has played for them the last 2 years. And then 2 years previous to that, I was playing for the Fire up there. So, I've been following them, obviously, the whole time I've been in Australia. So, yeah, it's really sad. Unfortunately, it wasn't their year, I guess. You know, since I've been in Australia, it's basically been saving the Crocs every season. So I don't think you can save them any longer.
And we were talking off air, and Clint Steindl is your partner. And Clint had a great season for Townsville. Most improved?
Most improved.
Most improved.
And really played some big games when they were beating big teams. I know that game out at Perth was, for me, a highlight. And Sean Dennis getting Coach of the Year. So I thought they were a program on court that were moving forward. But off court, I mean, we spoke about the Crocs, the brand, you know.
You would think it was
how you can't make, yeah. You
but were they still sponsored by McDonald's?
Good question.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Because McDonald's were a huge sponsor for them originally.
But they've got a casino there. They've got a harbour.
Yep.
You know, nice climate. The Croc brand, you know, it's something that maybe we need to call Larry and work him through a business plan to get him back on court. But Mr. Ish, how's your week been? And as I said, he has come looking very dapper. Yeah.
Yes. It's been swell. We've just been preparing for a big weekend ahead of us. You know, we have really two key games, so we're just really trying to focus in on that. The first one, obviously, Geelong. So we've been preparing for them. So for us, it's just trying to keep our eye on the prize just one day at a time. So
fantastic. And Dane, yourself, how's your week been?
Same as Jess. Just game prep, getting everything prepared for what we got going on this weekend. No surfing this week. Didn't venture out too much. Got down to the city at least once. So I got to do a little bit of sightseeing, which is a little bit long overdue considering I've been in the country for a month now. So.
And you haven't got off the peninsula yet?
I guess no.
he's been to the MCG. He's been to the cathedral. So he's...
Okay.
They're
getting, that was a few weeks back, though.
They're getting out and about. But and we're going to talk about a little bit more in detail the Siebel later in the show. But going down to your former team, is that something that didn't sit well? Obviously, the loss, but going out to Kilsyth?
No, I mean, I still maintain a lot of good friendships with a lot of the guys that are down there. Tim, Joel, Jacko, Jezza, there's a few guys. There's a few that, you know, that played there when I was there that are no longer there. So, but the core group, you know, Kyle adding him too. I mean, the core group that I played with that's still there, I still got a great friendship and a great rapport with. You know, it just, you know, they were moving in a different direction and so was I, and coming off an injury. So, I mean, it's just going down there was the only thing that was discouraging about setting foot back in the gym was leaving with a loss. So everything was fine with it. It's just would have been nice to come out with a win.
Absolutely. And Darren, how's your week been in Bobcat world?
It's been very busy, as you would know, because we're about to kick off all our junior basketballs this weekend.
So. And I just want to pump up the Bobcats merchandise. You were rolling in a what looked like a motorbike shirt yesterday at the stadium.
Oh, the new warm-up top, yes.
Yeah, with a little bit of DMW on the back.
Yep, 00.
Oh, look out. Yep. The Godfather. I thought that was going to be the...
I've actually got it in the car. I might go and grab it and put it on for you.
You should. We should. We'll tweet it out to all our followers.
It's a good-looking jacket. We need some Frankston versions of that.
I really like the Jordan shirt you're rocking as well.
Well, that one's actually from eBay or whatever it is.
But registrations, big week?
Oh, huge week, mate. We've got, as you probably know, big weekend. First, all the under eights to under 12, 14s kick off this weekend. So we've got just on 30 odd teams down at Frankston this season, which is great. And first time we've actually got under eight girls and boys, which is good. And lots of uniforms in the back of my car to get delivered today.
And I saw one of your new players yesterday has flown all the way out from Japan, an exchange student at Frankston High School, came down, met the young man, and he was looking for a pair of shorts. He had his had his uniform ready to go, but but I did watch him play. I think he's a bit of a talent.
He did all right. Look, for a group of boys in the under-18s yesterday that had never played before together, short of the 10 minutes getting to know each other, they didn't do too badly, so we'll give them a couple of weeks, get them through grading, and they'll be good. They'll be a good group.
You are on the Basketball Show, 98.7 FM on your dial. You can listen online. So all those people in Allensburg, the cousin city of Gettysburg, there's a few Bergs in the Midwest there, isn't there? A few towns. Get online. www.rdlpfm.com.au, which is great, so we can... get an international audience, which is fantastic.
We're going to have a bit of a chat to Carla. It is Carla, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kayla.
Kayla, sorry.
She's too polite to say that you're mispronouncing my name.
It's all Bobby. Right. I mean, I got Matty Garrick wrong for I don't know how long. So.
Yeah, everyone says it different here.
We're going to talk a little bit about, obviously, what's going on in the Siebel side and the girls. Do you know, obviously, being an ex-WNBL person, you would know, obviously, how disappointed are you with what's going on in the WNBL?
Yeah, it's just a bit sad because Australia has really good basketball, really good women's basketball. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know. I mean, the NBL was kind of going south a couple years ago, and that's sort of picked up. So hopefully someone, you know, can help out the WNBL because, like I said, there's a lot of talent here and, you know, a lot of good players. So hopefully.
Who actually won the WNBL this year? Nathan?
Townsville. No. Townsville did. No.
Yeah, who won it?
Yeah.
Townsville Fire.
Yeah, it's a bit of a question, though. No one really sort of convincingly knew, did they?
Well, you looked at me twice when I said Townsville thing. Sure, Townsville won, but...
I was trying to find it the other day. I mean, I knew who won, but I was scouring through bits and pieces of all the stuff that floats around in social media, and it was really hard to find, and I thought, you know, that's really disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about having great women basketballers in Australia. I mean, I called out on the sports show, the locker room the other week. I don't think the girls will actually make a medal this year.
Are you calling? That's a bit early.
I don't think they will.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah, they'll have...
they'll bow out early.
If Phillips is playing.
Damn.
Yeah.
The point guard, yep. So...
no Lauren Jackson.
Yeah, but I think they've moved on from Lauren.
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, I still... Jen out here, she's not playing.
Yeah, but again...
There's a lot of girls that are not playing that could be playing. And I think all the ones that they're talking about having now to play, they're all very young. Haven't had that international experience. And the world is getting better. That's the other thing we keep forgetting.
But we still have players playing in the WNBA. So Kayla Francis, you know, she can shoot the three. She's getting better. Phillips is an elite guard. I think she won with the Phoenix. So she's... Mm-hmm. You know, she's a championship winner.
Just throwing it out there, mate.
That's all good. Yep, that's what we do here. So, but we are going to talk about...
the Siebel girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And a bit disappointing last week against Kilsyth. you were, other than that second quarter where, you were in the game and you made a great fight back and got to 4 points in the last quarter and just couldn't get it done down the stretch.
We played three equal quarters with Kilsyth. But yeah, our second quarter really didn't help us out at all. We didn't shoot a free throw, I don't think, until the second half. So that's, not very good on our part. I know nothing about the Siebels. I've played two games in it so far. So to only lose by 10 points to one of the top teams, and we didn't really know what was going on. I guess we felt pretty good about only losing by 10 points. Obviously, you don't ever want to lose, but... yeah, I think we've got a lot of potential, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
And you sort of took the game over there for a while, which was nice. I was watching it at home on a live stream. And this weekend's game on Saturday night will be live stream on Blues Media for those that can't get down to the House of Blues. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mitch. Way to find me. You seem like you've really sort of transitioned into the team really well and playing confident.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, this is my first season here, so I think it's all just a bit exciting. You know, I don't really know what to expect from each team, so I thought, you know, I guess I did all right, but one good performance isn't going to win a game. I mean, we have to, you know, play as a team obviously and get better at that. So yeah, I think I'm enjoying Siebel, fitting in pretty well so far.
And teammates, have we got any teammates that we want to talk about? Is it a colourful group or are they more just a reserve group?
They're a lot of fun. I think Meg, Jeff's will have a good season. She's really apparently doing a lot better than she did last season. So that's a good positive for us. Because the more scores we have, the better it'll be for us and the harder it will be for others to defend us. I think, Meg will have a good season. So give Meg a shout out.
Shout out to Meg.
Good on you. Yeah, pump up those tyres. And obviously you're an ex-former teammate of Kelly Bowens.
Yes. Yeah, Kelly and I, yeah. We played on a few teams together. Yeah.
Okay. So new coach as well. How's that all fitting in with the new coach, with the new team? Obviously, it always takes a few weeks to get everybody to gel and obviously have an understanding of where and what and all the rest of it. So that's all coming along.
Yeah, no, I think, Mike's a very intelligent basketball coach. And I think, we're all kind of hopping on board as to what he has to bring. So... his offense that he runs is, if we run it well, it's very structured. I think it'll benefit us. We've just got to all be on the same page. If anyone watched a Kilsyth game, we all looked like we were running around with our heads cut off. So we've kind of had a meeting and everyone's jumping on the same boat. So,
so you haven't cut them off completely then?
No, and that wasn't anyone's fault, but the players' fault. So.
And this weekend against Sandringham, Geelong on Saturday night. Do you know much about the Supercats? Do they have a couple of WNBL players in their lineup?
Yeah. I don't know much, but we watched film on them last night. So I guess I know, a few of their players. Obviously, Rahani Cox is a massive outstanding.
Former Opal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I'm stuck guarding her, that won't be very good for us.
You'll be right. Locked down. And then the Sunday against Sandringham. So it's a tough double for the girls. Currently 1-1, so it could be one of those things that might be, without getting too ahead of ourselves, a season-defining weekend. Could we go with that, Bobby?
You could always. Double weekends are always tough. And if you can split them 1-1, well, generally the coach will be happy and the players will be happy. If you win both, well, it's a bonus. You go out and have a few beers on the Sunday night.
You said it.
Well, cocktails for the girls or wines, but yeah, that's always. And Sandy are a good quality team, so I mean they're renowned for always being in that sort of top four bracket generally. So you'll find that there's no gimmies generally in the Seabowl now. Maybe Melbourne, but the girls haven't got Melbourne. So, but it's interesting to see the Seabowl program this year is obviously, I think, stepped up a notch. Ex-NBL players now starting to come back into the fold. A lot of development kids are in there now, which is actually good. So it's turning into a really tough league.
Absolutely, and it's a bit early to get a gauge on the ladder, but the Lady Blues are sitting third. Just I know that'd get you excited. So
they've played two games. Do we take a photo of that?
Just like to keep our listeners updated.
Nah, they'll do well this year. The girls will do well, and I think the boys will actually surprise a lot of people.
Appreciate the confidence.
Oh, Captain America, he's staring daggers. He's not happy that he's not in his usual seat, so he's lost his mojo. But we are going to get back after the break. We're going to talk to the boys about the Blues men's season, and it is a season-defining weekend, I reckon, it's for the program. You know, Heritage Night, recognising all those former players that have played for our great club, me being one of them. So I think it's we're going to have a few people from the 1986 team when the Blues were established. So it's going to be...
No shipping in Dave Anderson?
No, unfortunately, he couldn't get the private jet over. He's knee-deep in some business over in the European leagues. And talk about winner. I mean, Dave Anderson's won everything. As an individual and a team. So it's going to be good talking about when we get into the NBA that... What constitutes winning? What actually makes a winning program or a winner? Do we get to discuss that?
You can if you like.
Fantastic. And of course, Manny bringing us in.
He's the great Hendrix man.
Yeah, I mean he's the gentleman that we need to get on the line. He's had an outstanding weekend last weekend. The All Stars getting it done against Mornington, and then the huge clash with his former club, the Western Port Steelers, this Saturday night. So
which is in Collingwood, and I reckon there's a good chance we'll get him in next weekend.
You know what? I reckon we could probably get him on the line for the last bit of tonight's show.
Well, I'll let you text him and see what he's up to. But I'm told it's 22 minutes from his house to the local nightclub that he goes to now. So he's very excited. He'll still be in bed.
Very good. The athlete that he is preparing. Yes. We are going to talk about the senior men's Blues program and talk about the round two clash against Kilsyth, and also preview what is going to be a huge game against Geelong on Saturday night, and then the Sandringham Sabres on the Sunday. But boys, your thoughts on round two, the Saturday game against Kilsyth? Obviously a disappointing loss. You can tell by your faces you're still holding on to that, which is nice. It shows you're competitive. How was it? How'd you feel? I personally used to hate playing at Kilsyth. That was like just a gym that I never played well in. I spoke to Steve Blackley early this week. I said, we talked about the result, but it's like we both just hate that venue. I don't know what it is. It's just got bad feng shui. Is that how you pronounce it?
Feng shui.
Feng shui. A lot of red going on. But anyway, Dane, Captain America, who doesn't wear a cape... let our listeners know, last Saturday, your thoughts and this week, how are we going to rebound back and get the two Ws?
Well, coming off the win against Aubrey, we had a lot of teams talk about that you go into the next round, kind of feeling confident when you start a season off, with a big win, but that's not what the approach that we had was. And looking around the locker room, looking around the week, the practice that we had leading up, it wasn't about being a little bit overzealous going into the game. Kilsyth just shot the hell out of the ball. We played 22 seconds of good defense, and the last 2 seconds they're hitting follow-away step-backs in the corners on us. And so it was a tough loss, but, a lot of teams, a lot of players talk about, home court advantage of certain gyms, and I've heard about, you know, the Ice House and I think Mount Gambier or something like that. I mean, every single gym in the Siebel is different. Every floor is different. Every rim is different. Kilsyth had two different nets, which just makes the baskets look a little different. One of them's longer, one of them's shorter. So there's not much
consistency. A little bit of conspiracy going on.
No, it's a conspiracy. There's just no consistency from gym to gym. So everybody's going to have their own home court advantage. You know, I've heard the roof line at Mount Gambier is, you know, you'll if you shoot a shot that's beyond half court trying to hit like a last second buzzer beater, you got to be really conscientious about hitting the ceiling. You know, so Kilsyth, I mean, they got a good setup. It's a good venue. You know, it's a nice floor. I mean, I like the rims. But again, that's, you know, playing on it for, you know, 6 months. So
you started the game off, I think you scored almost 7 points in the first quarter or about that. How'd you feel? You sort of look like you're in rhythm early on.
Yeah, I mean, it felt fine going into the game. I just, you know, had a rhythm early, and then I couldn't keep it going. I didn't do a good enough job with, you know, putting myself in enough positions, you know, to get opportunities to score. And I mean, it's no fault to the team. I just, you know, got to work harder. And we've had a good week of preparation. You know, things not getting chippy by any means, but you know, I do well when I got guys in practice that are really going at me. And it's all week, you know, we've had kind of a good back and forth. You know, Benny Lewis and I have just, you know, we've been pushing each other a little bit, you know, I think more aggressively than we would have imagined, but it's helping. It's helping me. I know that for a fact.
You're all big boys. and speaking of big boys, Ish Swish came out against Aubrey, had 24. Last week, looks like Kilsyth, you know, they'd obviously seen game film and it probably put a bit of work in all of you guys. I think they'd done their homework. How'd you find your own game personally, and then and also the team, you know, and the result?
Personally, just got to adjust throughout the game. They obviously knew exactly what we were wanting because they kept cheating the play every single time, and me just like trying to be the teammate I am. I didn't want to do too much as far as like go after the ball, chase the ball, you know, for my own shot. So really, I just kind of let the game come to me if I could, but. You know, that also resulted in a lower amount of shot attempts, and I know that, you know, my offense can really help the team get going. So I got to be a little more conscientious when I go into these games, understanding that, like, my role on the team is scoring the basketball. That's one of them. So I have to make sure I have that going. So just watching film on that and seeing what I can learn from that. And then from the team standpoint, we just got to keep getting better. You know, we just – you know, I think sometimes we think a little too much when we're out there playing. We just need to play basketball and let the game come to us. Sometimes we force the issue too much, and we just need to start playing like we know we can, like we did in the preseason. And I think we'll be fine. That's really our first true test because it was a road game. We haven't played on the road in the preseason. And on top of that, we started behind. And usually we start on top during the games. Usually we're running out to 10, 12-point leads in the first quarter, but they jumped out on us, so we're not used to that. So that's also another stepping stone for us as far as getting used to that. So I don't see it as a loss. I see it as a lesson. You know, we learn from it, and hopefully we can keep on moving from here.
You are on RLPFM Basketball Show, 98.7 FM on your dial, and for all those dialing in, listening online from overseas, it's great having you on board, Ish. Let's and you're here with the Siebel Blues imports, Ish Hollis, Dane Spitala, and Kayla Standish. Ish spoke about and Dane touched on Admin. You know, they hitting great shots. How good was Kyle? I think he ended up
24.
Yeah, 24. How many assists did he get there, Bobby?
He had a few.
He had 28 points.
Great facilitator.
28 points, 5 assists. I mean, he's a good player, a real good player. So
for someone so small, he's actually pretty quick, isn't he?
Yeah, he's real quick. So, you know, really I'm not even thinking about him anymore. I'm thinking about Jalong right now. But if I could comment on his game, he was a really good player. So we just got to adjust to him next time we play him later on down the road. So,
how's young Tom Wilson fitting in? New boy. Obviously, he's a youngster. But obviously a pretty good talent.
Man, he's great, man. Like, I know he has his rough patches, but, man, the kid's going to be amazing. I mean, he already is for his age, but I think as a pro, you know, once he gets done with college, I mean, college is going to help him out so much. I remember after my first year in college, yep. I got so much better. So, like, this kid's ceiling is about to raise tremendously, yep. and his upside and his potential is great. So, you know, we try to stay on him. I know I do. I stay on him really hard just because, like, that's what they're going to do to him, especially once he gets over to the States. So if I just stay on him and our teammates do too, I mean, the kid could play in the NBA one day. That's how good he is.
Of course, so. He's SMU bound. Yes. So we've got him for, not that we're counting, but we've 7 more games with Tom. So yep. For all those supporters, get down because you are seeing one of Australia's best guards at that under 19 level, and he's 18, yeah. Mixing it, you know, with the Seville best, and which is great. This weekend, Geelong and Sandringham, tough double. Both teams made the playoffs last year. Geelong, you know, multiple conference winning program, national winning program. What's the scout on them without sort of going into too much detail, of course, and then backing up for Sandringham. What are the things that you'll be doing post-game to make sure that your body's ready to go come 2 p.m. Sunday?
All I'm going to say is they're good. You go ahead, Dan.
Oh, he's handballed you on.
I mean, our scout is our scout. I mean, we keep that in the locker room. You know, we feel like we have a great understanding of what they're going to do, what they present. You know, we see where their weaknesses are. We know what we can't do to fall into their game plan. You know, there's certain shots that they want you to take. You know, we're aware of what we got to do. We're aware of what they're capable of. You know, we just got to go out and play the game now.
There you go.
That's pretty much how you do it, isn't it?
Play to your strengths.
Yeah,
yep.
So
limit their strengths.
Expose their weaknesses.
That's exactly it. It's not rocket science, really.
But I think our listeners are looking more for a little bit of, you know, just a narrative of how Dane's going to take over and, you know, own the block. Wow. 17 rebounds is now the benchmark. Let's crack 20. That's what the listeners want to hear.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to end up eventually being Dane in rebounds for the season. So just to throw that out there. So we can
vault. Yeah, we got a vault.
Bold prediction, but I probably will out-rebound Dane the rest of the season. So
there we go. Yeah.
So this weekend being Heritage Round.
It's the first time Captain America smiled. Look at him. He loves the competition.
new strips, new uniforms?
This season?
For the game?
So for the Bayside, we are...
going
recognising the 1986 establishment year of the Bayside Blues, which was the joint venture between Chelsea Basketball and Frankston Basketball.
Didn't go the Bears?
Yeah, there's a good picture of them on our website that you can go to the Blues Basketball. I never remember what the acronym at the end of it is. .asn.au, is that what it is?
Bluesbasketball.net.au.
.net.au.
Frankstonbasketball.asn.au.
Okay.
He's trying. I like it.
Yeah, it's, well, we just, in the States, we just keep it simple and have .com. So,
yes.
Yeah, but there's a good picture of the throwbacks, the originals from the 86, and then the kind of modernized version that we did. They look a lot like the Thunder uniforms, the new ones that they have with the stripe running down one of the sides, and they got the old Bayside written through it.
So is there any chance we might see them permanent?
Talk
to Nate about that.
We like the idea of just you know, just theming a night and recognize that on court and off court, which we're, as I said, looking forward to getting.
And the girls are dicked out as well.
Absolutely, cool. Yeah. And but we have introduced new uniforms this year, courtesy of proudly supported by Peak Sports. So the guys at Peak have decked out our Seville teams. Some nice shooting shirts I saw introduced last week. We're going a bit more navy, and we've got a nice white strip. And then Anzac Day, we're unveiling the top secret design.
Should I give that away to the listeners?
Okay. Right. The prophecy? No,
yes,
a
yes,
week
yes.
before you can do that ish.
Okay.
But
cool.
That's next week's show. But it's exciting. And for us, you know, getting the alumni back in the building, really trying to build that culture that there's a rich history in the Blues program, and celebrating those that have been before, I think, is really important. And it's great that former players can see what the current players are doing, you know, representing our club with great pride. And Saturday night, it's going to be a ding-dong battle. We can't wait. It's a total fight for us. We don't like Geelong. We don't like many teams, but no, we don't like Geelong.
Oh.
Yeah, Geelong always had more money. They got a better gym, you know. For us, it's
different story.
Off.
That's because they had an NBL team, that's all.
They don't have Captain America, so.
Alrighty, you're listening to The Basketball Show. We're going to go to a break, come back and talk about obviously some of the events that have been happening this week. in the NBL and more so in the NBA.
And also touching on the NCAA result, which Villanova, talk about winning, talking about a team getting it done.
Congratulations to them.
Jay Wright, Villanova.
They earned it.
And we are going to talk about a little bit of a situation there that I thought there was a little bit of coaching. We'll talk about that situation. Being up by three, the opposition having the ball, and if you foul or don't foul. So we are going to jump into NCAA. I think we just need to close that because that was...
pretty amazing game.
It was one for the ages, I think. Gang, what did you think of... first of all, we'll talk about the women's NCAA because that's always somewhat put to the side. Connecticut, did they get the win in the end?
Oh, well, yeah. It's not even exciting anymore to talk about it.
And who'd they beat?
Syracuse. Yeah.
By 30.
You wouldn't have even known Syracuse was on the court.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So they just sort of were standing around watching.
Basically.
Every time Connecticut plays, the question is not if they're going to win, it's just by how much.
Oh, really?
Literally. I mean, what's the girl who's four national players of the year, four national titles?
She just got drafted to the Seattle Storm first round pick, obviously.
Was another Connecticut girl the second pick?
One, two, and three.
My goodness.
I like that.
Domination. Just domination.
It's a bit like the Blues program.
Thank you.
5 years' time. Maybe. Okay, so that was short and sweet. NCAA men's final. Did we pick Villanova? Do we have that in our bracket?
No, we did not pick Villanova. But, you know, they deserve everything they got.
They did. Jay Wright, as we said before going to that break, Villanova up by three with maybe 2 or 3 seconds to go. Don't quote me on it. But there wasn't much time left. And... Villanova in the bonus and UNC have the ball. What do you do? Do you sort of take the punt that you're going to play defense, or do you foul and put them to the line so they only get a chance to score two potentially with a tip in, or you know, what
I
do you think?
Which the way they play defense, you know, all season and the NCAA tournament, I think what they did was actually smart. Just play it out with their defense. I mean, that shot that he made was incredible. So I mean, You have to pick and choose your moments, but I think they did the right thing. And actually, in the end, they end up winning. So I think, you know, it all works out.
Yeah.
Paige came down, just almost a double clutch. Three makes it, goes into overtime. And why I ask is the European game, it's a little bit different like that. They would fail and they would put them to the line. I know I probably would, being the very conservative guy that I am and don't like fast finishes like that. But Villanova did get over them in what was even more exciting finish with a last-second three-pointer. Dane, you know, from a championship winning, how big is it when you win the NCAA championship, just for our listeners?
Okay, well, I'm not even going to put it on front. I didn't even watch the game. so let me just be blunt about that. So, but in terms of winning a championship...
You don't tell our listeners that, Dane.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to sit here and try and lie about stuff and be like, I didn't even see the move. I didn't even see what happened. I didn't even know that Marcus Paige hit that three to tie it. Wow. Honestly, I didn't watch the game at all. I don't remember what was going on. I was probably in the gym shooting or something.
He was at Energy Gym with Billy Manag spotting him, which is all good. I like that. I like an athlete that's just got no time to watch TV but work out. But
I don't know what was going on, but regardless, winning a championship at the NCAA at that level on that stage is unbelievable. But to do it in that fashion, I mean, it's unfathomable to write a script like that where you basically just hit a walk off and it's just season over, championship won. I mean,
best final ever.
Is the guy that actually hit the shot, is he likely to go and play in the NBA?
NBA?
Or the guy
NBA?
Who actually made the shot? Yeah. Well, it's not like that shot is going to propel him into new like stardom status just because of that, but I mean, Ish knows more about him than I do. Well,
I mean, it did nothing for Michael when he hit that shot. 1982? Do we remember him? I think it's put him on the map, but...
There's been a few instances in the NCAA finals in the past that have made people who have broken them.
Well, I remember Mario Chalmers hit that shot for Kansas that... I mean, he was an All-American high school kid, but I mean, in terms of him as a player, that I'm trying to think of his name, who hit that shot.
Five Mario Chalmers?
Kansas? Oh, no, sorry.
The Memphis? Kid,
right? Villanova.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I don't even know his name.
Five players in double figures, did a great job. Showed what it sort of is about winning and that team aspect. We do have to push on because we're going to talk about the NBA and Kobe Bryant. Yesterday he played his last game, retiring. Just comes out and has the lazy 60, which was a nice day in the office. Kayla, did you catch that game just before I asked you the question, or did anyone see that game?
Yeah, I definitely watched it.
There we go. Swish, talk me through it. Wasn't much defense going on, but no. Kobe went out in style. That place was up and about, and the celebrities. You know, when you see Jack Nicholson standing on his chair, just losing his, you know, it looked like a good time. I should have been there. One of those bucket list things I should have ticked off.
Well, you know, I will say an Australian was guarding him most of the time, Joe Ingles. I didn't want to throw that out there.
Someone actually saying that might be the last time Joe Ingles plays in the NBA.
Hey, at least you know he's going to be in the highlights. Craig Ehle, we know who he is.
Yes. But no, it was an amazing game. I mean, me and Dan were watching it, and we were just amazed that, you know, obviously this is his last game. This is a guy that we grew up watching. But, you know, just the environment that was at the game was unreal. Like, I couldn't imagine actually being there, like, just how the presence would have felt. But, I mean,
I actually did think the game was missing something, and you've actually hit the nail on the head. It was missing you. I mean, I was looking at that sideline, those courtside seats.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Jack. I'm seeing Kanye. I'm seeing Beyonce's husband. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Jay-Z. Yeah. And then I'm thinking, Beyonce. Where is Ish? Yes. Where is Ish? It just missing that bit. But anyway, we'll have to get on to Adam Silver about that.
He missed his first five, then made the next five.
Then
hit 24 in the last quarter.
50 shots, you know, 5 of 20 from the three-point line.
I will tell you, though, the way he ended the game was so perfect to end his career, because he was hitting those shots that we know Kobe for. And it hasn't been like that all season. So at the end, in the fourth quarter when he did all that, that's like, that just caps it off. It's remarkable.
So they were down, weren't they? 14 down or something in the last.
Absolutely, yeah.
Come home.
The shot that he hit to put him up is very reminiscent about the shot that he hit on Phoenix after they won. They forced that jump ball, got the tip, dribbled down, that little right-handed pull-up runner. I mean, everything that he was making, everything that he was doing, we were losing our minds just watching it on the TV. But it's like, we're watching the game, and there's a part of you as a fan that's kind of hoping, like you kind of want Utah to play into this a little bit. Now, granted, they knew they're out of the playoffs, so Utah didn't even have a chance to make it. They had, I think, 8 guys on their roster currently that were D-League players at some point in the year. So they didn't have a whole lot of star power on the floor. Yep. They didn't have a lot of their guys really playing.
A little Washington Generals type thing going on.
It was not Washington Generals. But, you know, in terms of you want a storyline, you want to watch someone do it, you want to watch Kobe just go do what he's going to do. And I was not disappointed that they didn't have the best defender in the league guarding him. Because it allowed the storyline to just kind of develop. You're like, all right, take the shot. Just take the shot, miss it, so the Lakers can get the rebound. And they kind of put up a bad shot. Lakers got the rebound, gave it to Kobe. Came down, hit his free throws. They come down, force another quick shot. Lakers get it, give it back to Kobe. And then you just get to sit there to watch the whole time, like, what's he going to do? And he just delivered.
And I get the sense that Dane watched that game, because he's
I was watching that game. Now,
Kayla, Just from a female perspective. Sorry, my bad. I'm just trying to get the ball to other people, Dane, because we are coming down the stretch, you know.
Get off the court.
And we do have three big egos. We've got the franchise in the building, so, you know, we've got to make sure there's love for everyone. Kayla, just from your perspective, is Kobe someone that you would look at and sort of, I guess, potentially model your game on? Or you know, don't want to kept an obvious question of, you know, do you respect him and think he's a great player? But is he a guy you've watched over the years?
It's going to say funny you say that, because a lot of people do say I resemble Kobe when I play.
Yeah.
I was going to go there with that mid-range sort of fadeaway stuff. But
totally joking. No, of course.
But he ripped it off MJ, didn't he? Isn't that...
Okay, well, you could... MJ's fine then, yeah. No, I mean, I was, to be honest, never a fan of Kobe. Never really a fan of the Lakers. But obviously... You know, he's arguably one of the best players to ever play the game. So, of course, I respect him. Didn't watch him at all season, I have to say. But his last game, of course, I put effort in.
So who do you follow in the NBA? Do you have an NBA team?
I hate the NBA. I guess...
Really? Okay.
Well, Sonics are gone.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Kind of put the damper on that. No, I guess... I guess the Spurs would be who I'd follow the most.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
And moving right along to, I started the show with talking about winning. Golden State Warriors achieved a significant record in the NBA histories, the archives. 73 wins. Oh,
fun fact for you.
Here we go.
Both the 72-10 Bulls and the 73-9 Warriors won with an Australian center.
Wow.
There we go.
Bogut and Longley.
And what a critical role that person played. So you reckon that's the anchor of winning?
I'm just saying.
And there their best player was from North Carolina. Steph Curry and Michael Jordan.
You reckon?
Curry was from Carolina.
Yeah, you know that?
No.
He was from Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went to Davidson. A little bit of trivia for you. 2000, the Blues import, Ben Ebong, was a Davidson alum. Smart man. Enjoyed red wine. We used to go out. It used to be an interesting night. We'd order beers and he'd be the guy ordering red wine. But the locals enjoyed it.
They did a lot of significant milestones, the old Warriors. They're obviously the first one to win 24 straight victories. So no other team in the NBA has done that. First to win 34 on the road. First team to go an entire season without losing to the same team twice.
53 home win streak.
Never lost back-to-back games.
Yep.
Never lost back-to-back games. Never lost to the same team twice. Even the Bulls that year lost to the Pacers twice.
Over 1,000 3-point.
Before these guys jump into the analysis.
Pretty amazing.
Jack Welch, great GE, great captain of industry, spoke about winning being the competitive advantage. You know, really that drives it. What do you think Golden State's competitive advantage is? And I mean, off court, on court, they have been outstanding. What do you guys think?
Their mindset and their chemistry. I mean, Curry was he was asked a question after the post game. I mean, and it's kind of like it sucks at what the Warriors did is kind of being overshadowed by Kobe. And it's not disappointing. It's just like it's crazy how important Kobe was to the game that the Warriors can do what they did and the storyline be Kobe Bryant and not what the Warriors just accomplished. But they asked him a question about, you know, if with the storybook that's being written right now, if you guys go and don't win a championship, they're like, will you still consider this season a success? And he's looking at the reporters and he's like, I can't even like conceptualize that question because we don't even think about what could happen if we lose. And it's just it was insulting them that the reporter would even phrase a question like, what happens if you guys don't win? Is this still a good year? And he and everybody throughout that locker room, they got a bit of an edge to them, but they have a mentality of winning. I mean, and Steve Kerr's obviously done it, you know, with his team that he was a part of the Spurs' great teams. I mean, their coaching staff, every player down the row, it's just – It's impressive to watch. As much as I love watching the Spurs, watching what they do as a team, what they do through their coaching staff night in and night out, if you're a fan of basketball, you can't not like – I mean, you might not like them, but you have to respect them.
And I totally agree. And I think that winning sustainably, continuity, they did have some issues around Steve Kerr being out at the early stages of the season.
Didn't faze him at all.
Luke Walton comes in, who's a winner in his own right, and his dad was a significant winner. Winning goes in the Walton family, I reckon. Ish, they had a great supporting cast. Draymond Green, did he equal the record of triple doubles? Is that on your stat list?
No.
Or did he?
But I thought
Westbrook has.
Yeah, Westbrook's just
Westbrook
gone.
Has 18 this season.
Yeah, but just from a supporting cast, we're aware that Steph Curry is, you know, probably the best player on the planet. Yeah. How does everyone else play well? You know, like normally with teams, you have the star, and then everyone else sort of just does what you know, do what they do. They seem to have outstanding players across the line.
Yeah, they know their role, and that's the great thing about it. Like they know what shots they should take and when to take them. Like, it was funny because during the game, you know, Steph Curry, he's very agile. He gets open. And I remember they got like two or three possessions of offensive rebounds, and they kept throwing it back out to him, wide open three, until he finally hit it. So, you know, they know their roles, and they play it very well. Draymond Green isn't a guy who wants to go out there and score 20 points, but he'll get 15 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. I mean, that right there is just great in his own right. And, you know, obviously Andre Iguodala. Klay Thompson, who's mechanic-wise, he's a better shooter than Steph Curry. But we also know, you know, game shooter, Steph Curry's the best shooter on the planet. So
the other milestone out of that game, Steph Curry knocked off 400.
402 total right now.
which is an NBA record.
Bruce McAvaney down the end there, Bobby. Nice find.
He beat his own record by 116 threes.
That's amazing, that in itself. How's that changed, though, basketball? I mean, the game of basketball is not the same it was 5 years ago. It's changed from Jordan to Kobe.
The coach that they were playing at, when they interviewed it at halftime, like, what changes are you going to make? His comment was, well, we're not used to having this show on screens at half court. You know, usually that's a screen you press, you call under, and he's like, well, you have to show on Curry, because you've seen him. He'll pull from the center circle, like the very edge of it, like he's pulled from the Pistons logos before. And, you know, shot goes up, and you're like, that's a makeable shot for him.
Mm.
And it's insane to think, though, that the range of guys, I mean, Damian Lillard has range 9 to 10 feet behind the three-point line consistently. Kobe in his younger days, but it's just, the game is stretched so far back beyond a three. That's why they're having viable conversations about adding a four-point shot. I hope they don't do it. But because guys are shooting it so far away, people are like, should we start giving them more points for this? Because it's unbelievable to see.
Mm.
So it's changing the game so much that they're talking about rewriting the rule book.
Yep.
And Kayla, you spent a bit of time in the Bay Area. You reckon the people of San Fran? No, you know, you're just looking at me like, okay.
I didn't.
Just say, yeah, I did.
I know that, but you've...
Yes.
Have you been to the Bay Area?
Yes, okay. Yeah. We played San Francisco. More than once? So I've been there multiple times.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm...
Go with it. It's all good.
Yeah.
But the Bay Area would be up and about with the Warriors with this record and going into the finals being the top dog. It'd be nice to be there, I guess, is probably what I'm alluding
absolutely.
To.
Yeah, absolutely. In a West Coast team, I mean, you're going to get, you know, behind your local team. So, I mean, it's amazing, especially where I'm from. You know, it's just a small, I mean, the name in itself makes it out to be what it is, Ellensburg. Like, but the amount of kids and whatnot wearing Steph Curry singlets in a town who knows not much about basketball, it's just pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, what they've done is, obviously, they're, you know, breaking records. So it's pretty amazing.
So I was going to say, just before we wrap up, pick for the NBA, who's going to win?
Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cavaliers.
Out of your mind.
LeBron's not losing this year.
No, sorry, Cleveland, you're just SOL. Listeners, Google that acronym.
And I reckon I reckon it's we're just talking about the Golden State Warriors. It's interesting that you raised the Cleveland Cavaliers, because I reckon that's probably the other end of what is a characteristic of a winning team. I think there's a little bit of just one-man show going on there. That's just my observation, but they do have an Australian that will be the glue man, Dellavedova. He'll get them through that, a kid from the Bay Area. But we do have to... have we got time for another a quick break and then getting...
I'll say it's going to be a Western Conference team. It's going to be the Spurs, it's going to be the Warriors, or it's going to be the Thunder.
The Cavaliers, listeners. No, it's going to be Cavaliers.
Oh, it's going down.
Looks like we've run out of time. We do have a song that we do need to queue up, a track for a birthday girl that's turning 7 tomorrow. Shout out to Zara team.
Zara, yeah, happy Zara. Birthday.
Is this your daughter?
It is, and Captain America's showing no love. Just because she didn't go to your holiday camp, he's he's not happy. But good luck tomorrow. It's Heritage Round. Get it done. There's going to be a lot of former Blues in the house. He'll be really proud watching you guys do what you do well, because you are accomplished in your own right. And it's a big game against Geelong, and then obviously backing up against Sandringham on the Sunday. The game's on Saturday night going to be streamed live, so get onto Blues Media on the YouTube channel. Thanks, Bobby and the Bobcats and Frankston Basketball. But you want to finish off the show, mate?
Just going to shout out to all the kids obviously playing tomorrow for their first game in their winter competition. So basketball is back this weekend. Hopefully we won't have too many crying kids, because it's their first game and they might lose.
Enjoy your weekend.
And happy birthday, Zara.